Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Wednesday afternoon, little drizzly. It's gonna kind of stay like that for a while. You think the customer service lines at Mossad Electronics are jammed right now, or are people not trying to get their money back for the defective pagers and walkie-talkies? Oh my gosh! Listen, I know you're not supposed to laugh, but are you not laughing? Are you not sitting back and thinking, oh my gosh, the IDF and Mossad are able to do things that other intelligence agencies and military operations can only dream of? You want to talk about pinpoint accuracy? Listen, I know which side I'm on, and I've got a sneaking suspicion I know which side you're on. But as we speak, we have Ghazala Hashmi, a member of the Virginia Senate. Oh, by the way, did she have to come through Chesterfield? I mean, she doesn't live in the district, right? Did we ever decide that? Did they ever decide, oh, she does live in the district, or she doesn't live in the district, or she doesn't even know where the district is because now she's running for lieutenant governor? Well, anyway, I don't know. We'll have to take a poke into that. But she's having these ridiculous pseudo-hearings. And she is really enabling, emboldening pro-Hamas folks. That's what's going on at these hearings. Now, I know we have some people who are saying, well, you know, Jeff, they're pro-Palestine. They're not pro-Palestine. They're pro-Hamas. Let's get our act together here. It's pro-Hamas garbage. It's Jew hatred to a degree we have not seen since, well, you know, the last time that there was Jew hatred of this extent. Ghazala Hashmi is just part of the problem. We're not going to have any questions of the people testifying. Why not? Well, you can write them out, and then we'll email them, and then it'll be, what do they say, a more scholarly approach? Give me a freaking break. This is cover-up. Beginning, middle, end. That's what this is. Because Ghazala Hashmi knows full well that other members of that committee are going to ask questions that, well, Ghazala Hashmi doesn't want asked. I wonder which side Ghazala Hashmi is on. I wonder how many of these folks testifying are just biting their tongue because they'd like to tell you what they really believe. They maybe would like to confess that they are, in fact, pro-Hamas. But listen, we'll see. What are you going to do? I'd love to tell you that I've got all the answers. I barely have any of the questions, right? Oh, no, I do have one answer. Do you remember during that pseudo-debate last week? Or was it the week before? I don't know. I've lost track of it. Where former President Trump was up there debating those three Democrats. What's her name and what's his name? And then the other one. Anyway, and he said, you know, it's Springfield, Ohio. There's all these reports there. You got people there eating dogs and cats. And David Muir, that's him, right? He ripped off his shirt, and underneath he had this red cape and red thigh-high boots. Probably pretty nice underwear, too. But anyway, so he rips it all off and goes, no, that's not true. And his head spun around and around, and his co-host's eyes spun in different directions. I mean, it's really kind of neat. That's not true. We spoke to the city manager. Well, here's the problem. The city manager, actually, in March of this year, is on video talking about the reports of people eating household pets. Here's the post, and it's on X. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send it out on X just so you don't miss it. And it's a good time. It's a good reminder for you. If you're not following me on X, boy, you got to get signed up there ASAP. Jeff Katz Show. Jeff Katz Show. I'm going to send this out now. The video from Springfield, Ohio, and here's what it's captioned. ABC News falsely claimed the Springfield city manager refuted Trump's debate statement. They lied. He, meaning the Springfield city manager, admits that there were complaints in March of Haitians eating pets. There are call reports that corroborate the complaints. Now, listen, I don't live in Springfield, Ohio. And if everything holds according to plan, I'm not going to Springfield, Ohio. So I can't tell you anything about it. I heard Springfield. I immediately thought Homer and Marge and Chief Wiggum and all the gang. But I don't know very much about Springfield, Ohio, so I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I do. But I do know that this particular video, which is from the Springfield City Commission meeting back in March, has, according to the reports, the city manager saying, yeah, we've got a number of reports, a number of complaints about this issue. You actually had the co-host of that debate, Lindsay, right? Lindsay Davis, I think is the name. Who has now come out, she's kind of come clean and said, oh yeah, our plan all along was only to, quote, fact check Donald Trump. And there's all this swirl about the possibility of some sort of a deal that the ABC News people made with the Kamala Harris campaign to get this debate. It'll be the last time that there is, in fact, a presidential debate on ABC. Because if you're a Republican going forward and you agree to a debate on ABC, well, then you are too freaking bat crap crazy to have any office you're running for. So I hope that they enjoyed it. I really do, because I think that they have effectively killed off the debate process. Will there be debates on other networks? I don't know. I mean, the Democrats obviously will not go on Newsmax or Fox because they are firmly convinced that they are conservative and Republican leaning. And so, no, they wouldn't do that. Then you've got CNN, which at least for a while, you may not want to admit it, but for a while, they were trending back towards being close to middle of the road, actual reporters doing actual reporting. And then that guy, wasn't there a scandal involving him too? God, there's so many of these things floating around. But anyway, he's gone. And they brought somebody else in. And now you got that Brian Steltler, Mr. Potato Head, is back for, I guess he's got a show. And then Don Lemon, who's doing everything possible to hawk his book. And apparently nobody wants it. Like, nobody wants it, let alone paying full price for it. It's just like nobody wants it. He did a video where he went around hiding copies of his book in New York City. I guess there were people who found the copies, looked at it, and then put them back. They didn't want them. But he just did a guest appearance on CNN the other day. So I would say CNN is probably out of the running for a debate of any sort. So, well, maybe you and I have seen the very last presidential debate. Have to figure that out. Hey, we got a lot of great stuff coming up this afternoon. And before I get to any of that, may I remind you about a couple of things. Number one, Politics and Pints. Politics and Pints is coming up on October the 16th. It is once again at the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell. And I will tell you that our plan all along has been to move Politics and Pints into different parts of Central Virginia. So we've been in Hopewell of the Beacon Theater. This will be, what, the third time, Germ? I think it's the third time. So that's probably going to be it. So if you're down in that neck of the woods, I would urge you to get your tickets now, because I don't think we'll be back there for a while. WRVA.com. The only place you get your tickets. Remember, it doesn't matter where we are. We never sell tickets at the door, and we don't give them away as prizes. So you got to go to WRVA.com and get them. It is me, obviously. It's John Reed. Brian Kilmeade had such a great time last time. He's coming back. Dana Lash heard about it. She's coming in. And, Gary Hess. I'm sorry. I almost forgot to mention Gary Hess, who was our very professional, friendly referee slash master of ceremonies. And then who's the other guy, Jerm? I always forget his name. He's the annoying, whiny boss's best friend. Gutman. Yeah, Gutman. Gutman will be there because we got like this radio station DEI policy working. So we've got to have a designated left-wing wackadoodle. And Howard got the call. So he'll be there as well. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? The other thing, I mentioned my friend John Reed. I don't know if you saw Bacon's Rebellion. It's this newsletter that goes out, and it's about Republican politics primarily in Virginia. Well, they did a great, great piece with John. And talking about the possibility of John running for lieutenant governor. I don't know. I got one hand where I got my fingers crossed that he'll announce that he's running for lieutenant governor at Politics and Pints on October the 16th. But I'm just spitting in the wind here. I don't have any information, but I'm going to post that story. I will put that up over on the Facebook page. So another opportunity for you to be part of the adventure here. Make sure you are following, liking. No, I guess it's following now or liking. Yeah, whatever it is on Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show. I got a big smiling picture of me up there, and you can't miss it. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook and Jeff Katz Show over on X. Michael Harrison's going to be with us at 3:35. You know, Michael is the longtime publisher of the official Bible of talk radio. It's called Talkers Magazine. And there's really nobody better when it comes to analyzing what's happening in the industry, how it's changing, how it's staying the same. And there are a few other issues that Michael's been looking at, especially the rise of AI. So he's going to be with us at 3:35. Really looking forward to catching up with him. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. I tell you what, if I'm a member of Hezbollah, I'm buying paper plates. No, I am, because I am not turning on the freaking dishwasher. And sandwiches. We're all having cold food if I'm part of Hezbollah, because if you think I'm going near the microwave this evening, not a chance. Oh! Do you think these things are still under warranty? Like, yeah. Todd in the West End says, Jeff, it really doesn't matter how bad your day is going. I'm telling you, it's not as bad as the IT director for Hezbollah. Yeah. Now, would it be the Hezbollah supply division? Would it be IT? Would it be the purchasing division? Did somebody think, listen, crazy leader of Hezbollah, I know, we want to slaughter all the Jews, but listen, you got to take a look at this great deal I'm getting on these pagers. You wouldn't believe it. I'm getting them wholesale. It's going to be great. And you know what? In case anything goes wrong with the pagers, I've got these nifty walkie-talkies. It'll be so cool. It'll look like we know what we're doing. It's great. It'll be fantastic. Yeah. Do you want me to order, like, coffee filters? No, we're good. Good. I don't know if it's a supply division, but I'm telling you, I don't know if the warranty coverage is going to be extended. They probably should have bought the extended warranty. You know, buying an extended warranty is always the bad move. You know, it really is. The only people who make money on any sort of an extended warranty, it seems, are the people selling you the extended warranty. But again, if I'm in the supply division of Hezbollah, I'm thinking next time, sure. Okay. Yeah. Let me get to a couple of quick texts coming in here on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, you said you're going to talk with your buddy Michael Harrison about AI. It's highly biased against conservatives. Don't trust AI unless you're asking about something that has no politics or culture in it. 804 in Chesterfield says, Jeff, Senator Ghazala Hashmi is a disgrace. It's never been disclosed or investigated about where she really lives. She's one of a growing group of emerging Chesterfield Democrats that are now in elected office. Chesterfield residents need to wake up before we become another Henrico. Wow. Jeff, out in Springfield, Ohio, I'm hearing the city manager owns rental property being rented with government money to the Haitian immigrants. Well, I haven't heard that. I don't know that that's the case. 804 says, Jeff, Ghazala Hashmi's the top Jew hater in the state. And Senator Tom Cotton said the Hezbollah folks should think twice about turning on their toasters in the morning. Absolutely. 326, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Now, I'm going to tell you weather-wise, it's kind of iffy. And we're seeing and hearing about all sorts of accidents. It's getting yucky out there. What can I tell you? You'll be careful, I hope. I'm a little extra concerned today. I shared with you, I think. Oh, no, I shared it on Facebook. My little guy, Joe, is off on a rock and roll road trip. He and his gal pal, Emily, hit the road a little earlier this afternoon, and they're driving to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Have you been to Pittsburgh? Really? Would you drive to Pittsburgh? Anyway, they're driving to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to go and see Megadeth. And part of the reason that they're going to Pittsburgh is because they were supposed to go last week right over here to Virginia Credit Union Live, the amphitheater, over at Richmond Raceway Complex. And I don't know what happened, but the show got canceled and they were all kind of bummed out. And, well, the next thing you know, they got their tickets. And so they hit the road a little bit earlier. And I guess they're going to the show this evening. It's like a 7 or 8 o'clock tonight. And hanging out somewhere near Pittsburgh. Emily's got some family out there. And then they'll be back. But I'm just a little extra worried about folks on the road. So you also heard Atlee Elmont. That is almost always a bad situation, especially when weather gets involved and you got multiple crashes. So please, all I'm asking you is to please do your best and stay safe and beware the weather. I guess there are all sorts of technical problems at the radio factory today, so I do apologize for that in advance, but is what it is, and I'm sure we've got bailing wire and chewing gum, and we're going to get it all back together and up and running ASAP. Jeremy is holding down the fort on that end. We'll be chatting about this huge firing at Richmond City Hall, their chief of staff, and nobody seems to know what happened. Nobody. We'll do that at 5:35, 4:35. Good friend of mine, Yale Evan Sheldon, is going to be here because she actually testified yesterday at the state senate, this Ghazala Hashmi hearing, where it sure seems as if there's a big cover-up for all of the pro-Hamas activity on Virginia college campuses. So Yale will be with us at 4:35. Now, my friend Michael Harrison is a couple of things. Number one, he really is one of the greatest talk show hosts you'd ever want to meet, and he's selfless in this regard. Years ago, Michael said, all right, I can devote myself to my own talk radio career, which I must say would have gone far. I mean, he's just great at it. Or I can help other people who are in talk radio and establish the Real Trade publication, the Bible of talk radio, Talkers Magazine. Well, he chose the latter. And it's an amazing publication, always has been. It's on top of everything. And every once in a while, we get the chance just to chat with Michael about some developments. Talker's got a brand new YouTube channel. And also, we just got this bill that keeps AM radio in vehicles from the house. Michael, good afternoon, sir.
Well, Jeff, you make me sound like some kind of a saint or a humanitarian. And I always begin our conversations with a big blush on my face, and but a lot of gratitude for your friendship over the years. And you are certainly a great participant in this industry. And you, your listeners should know, talking about humanitarians, you are a past recipient of the Talkers Humanitarian of the Year Award, which is a big deal. So congrats to you, and thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you. I am actually staring at that trophy as we speak. Not that I show it to other people, but if I had a chain, I would wear it around my neck. I'm just telling you. Michael, let me start first with this piece of legislation that just came through the House of Representatives that says we are going to keep AM radio in vehicles moving forward. Now, it's got to go over to the Senate, and there's other stuff, but what do you know about that? Because you've been involved in really helping people understand the importance of it.
Well, it means that by hook or crook, amazingly enough, the medium that encourages people not to let the government get involved in business has pressured the government to get involved in business. And that is I don't mean to be a wise guy, but there is something ironic about that. Yeah. Look, AM radio is important. It's not dead. It's not dead. And if the automobile industry feels that way, if other people in the press and people that are in the media business feel that way, well, they are throwing the baby out with the bathwater because AM radio has, to use an old saying, a lot of rubber left on the tires. Mm-hmm. So when the automobile manufacturers across America and around the world started to one by one say that they're going to begin systematically dropping AM radio out of the dashboard, there was a bit of blowback. And fortunately, the politicians, the Congress, pressure groups, and radio people mobilized. The National Association of Broadcasters got behind it and put some pressure on them. And now it looks like there's a chance that that move will be forestalled based upon the public need. Yes. And, I can go through a whole list of things as to why AM radio is important, but I think that the listeners to this program understand that because they're radio listeners. Exactly. And when AM goes, FM is going to go because they're both basically cousins in the same, technological, mode. Yeah. So that's basically it. It's a very interesting thing. And, I never thought that I would live to see the day when AM radio would be thrown out of cars for being obsolete. I remember when I first had my first job in radio on an FM station, people said to me, "When are you going to get a job on a real radio station?"
Oh,
I said, "What do you mean? It's a real radio station." I said, "Yeah, you can't hear it in the car. You can't hear it in the car. It's not a real radio station." So the relationship between the car and AM radio goes back a long way. So hopefully cars will remain with AM radios for at least another 5 or 10 years. After that, all bets are off.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good to me. I could tell you, Michael, that when I was a little kid, all we had in our cars were AM radios, except when my Uncle Mort would come to visit. He had one of these FM contraptions that was an aftermarket strapped in with, chewing gum and baling wire and all sorts of stuff. And but that was That's so funny. He could listen to classical music, because Uncle Mort
classical
was
music, right?
Yeah,
they were those were called FM converters, and you could pick them up at Radio Shack, and you stuck in on the bottom of the front of the car.
Right.
And it was with a strap, and it worked. It actually worked. And it was such a cool thing to hear FM in the car. Yeah. I, of course, began my career playing the classical music and the beautiful music on FM, which was like not even like being on the internet in 1990. I mean, it was just very small time. But then I got very lucky, and I wound up being a pioneer of FM rock radio.
You sure did.
And that was where we started to make a little noise.
Yep.
And when we had those converters in the cars, we were giving them away on the air. I mean, we wanted people listening in cars. That was your Uncle Mort was way ahead of the curve. Thank goodness for people like Mort.
Absolutely. Michael Harrison is joining us. Michael is the publisher of Talkers Magazine. Talkers is the trade paper, the Bible of talk radio, has been for 30 plus years. And Michael has a knowledge of this industry like no one else. But Michael, even as we're talking about AM radio and FM radio, Talkers Media, if I'm going to be be upfront about it. You've now got the YouTube channel as well. And let everybody know, because as I looked at it, I think, oh, this is going to be great. When I first looked at it, it's going to be great for those of us in the industry. But there's a lot there just for people who are interested in news and what's going on.
Yeah, we're sort of walk the line between people who are professional broadcasters and people who are professional broadcast listeners or viewers. Because you know, so many people in audiences of every art form, we're in an interactive era where where programming is largely influenced by audience involvement. Mm-hmm. This wasn't the case for forever until about 15 years ago, when they start putting comments on websites and people, you know, were able to talk back. AM radio and talk radio was the first social media, because you could talk back to the radio and you'd take calls and it was a town meeting. That's now, social media has changed a lot of things. To make a long story short, YouTube, and that's not to diminish in any way AM or FM or satellite radio or any kind of radio. Right. But YouTube is a very, very unusual platform. It's a very fertile platform, and there's a lot of action going on there. And it behooves AM, FM, traditional radio, particularly talk radio, to have a, to claim territory. That's on YouTube. And that's what we're doing. So it'll be an extension of talkers.com, but it'll be Talkers on YouTube. Yep. And we have, you just recently interviewed Bill O'Reilly on your show, I understand.
That's right.
And I heard that broadcast, and I have him on the show. We have, this week we're going to be putting up an interview that I conducted, and it's video, and it's a video interview from our Talker studios, and he's at his desk with the mogul of talk radio, John Catsimatidis, who owns WABC and owns baseball teams, energy companies, grocery stores. And he's a billionaire. A billionaire. And we're gonna have you on there as soon as possible.
That's fine.
And I think it's very nice of you to mention that. So thank you.
I'm excited about the chat with John Catsimatidis, because I met him, I guess it's 2 years ago. He was at the Talkers Conference. And one of the things that struck me, Michael, and I'm always taken aback by this. Here he is, as you say, he's a billionaire. I mean, he could literally buy that entire building he was in and say, let's turn it into a drive-thru. I don't know what we're going to do with it. But he was as friendly and as approachable as guys that I had known for 20 years. And he knew and wanted to talk about radio things. It was beautiful.
Yeah, he grew up the way we grew up as kids that loved pop culture. And growing up in New York, I'm sure some of your listeners migrated to Virginia from New York. The New York radio scene back in the 50s and 60s and early 70s was a great place to grow up listening to these characters on the radio. And he grew up listening to WABC. Maybe some of your listeners heard of a guy called Cousin Brucey and Dan Ingram. Big names. Locally in New York, but, you know, a lot of people from New York. And it was a very exciting scene. And now Cousin Brucey, who's pushing 90 years old, still does a show on WABC. John Catsimatidis brought him back to do a Saturday show playing music on what is otherwise a very exciting talk station.
Yeah.
Catsimatidis loves radio, and I asked him. It's already in the can, so to speak. I did the interview yesterday.
Okay.
In his book, he has a book, How Far Do You Want to Go? Advice from a Common Sense Billionaire is the name of his book. And he has 16 tenets of what you need to know. And the 16th one is have fun. So I said, are you having fun, John? And he said he has never had as much fun in his life, and that he's doing WABC. I mean, you know, he can afford to do that.
Yeah.
He bought this giant radio station knowing he may not make money.
Right.
But he wants to have fun. So you've got this major radio station in New York City that is being controlled by this wild billionaire who wants to have fun. As a result, it's turned into a really fun radio station. And it's full of characters. All kinds of New York characters are on the air there. So And that's what radio should be. Characters like you.
Well,
like me.
I'd like
weirdos.
I don't know if I make that list, man, but I'm happy to even be mentioned in the same breath. And one of the things about that station, one of the things about this station, there's no AI, and that is the subject of Gun Hill Road. We talked about that with you the last time you were on. We've been playing that song. But remind everybody about your AI concern and this song.
Well, the song is called Artificial Intelligence, No Robots Were Injured in the Production of the Song. That's the name of the song. And it's about AI, and none of the music is AI. The music of Gun Hill Road, of which I am a proud member, is all real organic music, original songs, original voices, real instruments and all of that. But the visuals are wild AI. And basically, I mean, I'm not at this point, I'm not saying anything that I don't think the very astute listeners of your show haven't heard, that AI presents a double-edged sword for good and for bad, for That's advancement right. and for danger.
Yep.
There is discussions in the arts. Is it real art if it's made with AI? That's a question. There's discussion in business. Is it taking away jobs? And there's a discussion in politics and in journalism. Is it necessarily true or real? We're entering this, some people call it the post-truth era. And AI is only enhancing the dimensions of the untruths that float around like litter. I mean, it's like, you know, our world is polluted with lies. Yeah. And AI is part of it, but that doesn't mean that AI is ultimately a bad thing. Let's just say, like all advances in technology, it's a potentially dangerous thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's something that we are certainly just really beginning to appreciate and see how it can be utilized effectively and efficiently. Some of those mundane tasks that go into broadcasting, you know, it'd be okay to have Robbie the Robot handle those. But
I think Robbie the Robot could do a talk show. I think you could have two robots doing a talk show, arguing with each other, and people wouldn't know the difference. Now, you mentioned Gun Hill Road. One of the benefits I had of being an FM DJ back in the old days on the progressive rock station was I used to play a group called Gun Hill Road in the early 70s. And now, in the first quarter of the 21st century, I'm a member of the band, and we've been doing these songs. So let me give a real quick plug, gunhillroadmusic.com. I think people will get a big kick out of it if they haven't seen our videos, gunhillroadmusic.com.
Absolutely. And, I'll tell you what, Michael, we are going to share that on all of our social media. We've been enjoying the song. People have heard it, make no mistake. I want them to go and make sure they watch the video as well. Michael, I could sit here and just chat with you for hours about the good old days, the bad old days, the future good days, the rest of it. But I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate you making time for us. My listeners really enjoy our discussions, and I'm going to send them over to the YouTube channel and talkers.com because I'd like them to get a little peek behind the curtain. It's kind of fun.
Thank you so much. Really enjoy talking to you, Jeff.
You are the best. That is Michael Harrison. Michael, as I said, and put him on hold, Jeremy, because I don't want him to blush, but Michael really is one of the best. And Michael would have been one of the most successful talk radio personalities if he had decided that was what he was going to do. Instead, he took that talent, he took that drive, he took that concern, and he put it into an industry. He helped grow, make no mistake about it. He helped grow what we now know as talk radio because of Talkers Magazine. So just nice to have him on. And if you get a chance, go over there. I'll get all the links up for the YouTube channel, and I'll put the links up for gunhillroadmusic.com. Well, I guess I just did. And you can check out the AI song as well. It's really, really good stuff. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is mind-boggling. It's also 3:53. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. The Vindmans are at it again. There's a video circulating over on X with one of the Vindmans. Who's the guy who's running for the 7th district? Is that Eugene? I think it's Eugene. Or is it Alex? No, yeah, I think it's Eugene. Running for the 7th district, right? Running against Derek Anderson. And there's this video up. It's about 30 seconds long. I think the Republican Party of Virginia shared it. This guy has no idea where the 7th district is. Has no... None. It's priceless, but you have to watch it in addition to listening to it. When you see he's kind of like squirming around like, oh, I don't know, we got forests. Well, you're in Central Virginia and you got this really long day. You probably got a forest somewhere in there. But if you live in that 7th District, oh, good gosh, man, you really do have to seek that out. I'll share it again over on X, all right? We'll make it easy. Jeff Katz Show is what you follow over there. The other thing that I have to share with you, if you haven't read it yet, the Bacon's Rebellion report, a great interview, really wonderful discussion with John Reed. And it's about running for lieutenant governor, and John would be apparently the first gay statewide elected official. Okay. Now, it may just be me. Of all the things that I can tell you about John, one of the least important things for me is that he's gay. And then people tell me, John Reed is gay, and I always act surprised. What? Well, he's gay. You'll notice that when John discusses it, it's the same way as anybody else discussing a part of their personal life. Yep, that's me. And by the way, let's talk about taxes. Let's talk about leadership. Because that lieutenant governor's position, as we've seen now with Winsome Sears, it's a great place to have a podium, to have the ability to stand up and talk about the important issues of the day. I think Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears has done a phenomenal job, and I think she'll do a great job as governor. And I'm here to tell you, even though he hasn't announced, I think John would do a great job.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.